Anybody have any testimonies here this evening before we get right into it? Anybody have a good word for the Lord you'd like to go ahead and share this evening? Anybody? It's not you, it's me, and I got a lot here this evening. I'm going to move right forward. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, then. I don't think, to be honest with you, tonight I'll be using a whole lot of the tool of humor. Maybe something might spill out. But I, of course, you see our theme behind me. Thank Brother Robles for painting that picture up there. And I taught him everything he knows about painting. Amen? No, I'm kidding. And he knows that. But he did a fabulous job. Of course, he did last year's as well, and I appreciate that. And that's our theme this year, the race. Of course, you heard this morning's offertory song was on the race, and tonight is as well. And the song that you heard tonight just a few minutes ago, you will probably hear a few different times this year. Every once in a while, I'll hear a song that'll just really motivate me. And that is a song, I'll admit, as far as this preacher, it motivates me. And probably when I heard that song a while back, that probably sealed the deal as far as my theme for our church this year. And let's go ahead and read our scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And I'm going to read, we'll read verses 1, 2, and 3. Why don't we just read them together? They are fairly familiar verses. And we'll just read them all together. Ready? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We do thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for all that we've seen and heard and was able to be a part of today at Faith Baptist Church. Surely your hand is upon this ministry, and we do thank you for that. We give you all the glory for every soul saved, for every family that's been encouraged, for every individual that's been encouraged, Lord. And I just pray, dear God, tonight that you would meet with us again as you always do. Lord, you know my heart. You know what I want to convey tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you'd settle my mind and help me to convey exactly what you'd want preached tonight as if you were saying it yourself. Speak through me, Lord. Help us to stay in the race here tonight as we talk about it after for a little while here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Unfortunately, I will probably not necessarily be speaking to the same crowd that's here tonight in about a year from now. It could even be 2-3 months from now, maybe 6 months from now. You say, where are you going? Now, it's not necessarily me that's going anywhere. But the devil is an all-out attack, of course, against the church, against the preaching of the Bible, the Bible, the King James Bible. He's an all-out attack upon Christians. He'll do everything he can to try to throw things in the way of the race that God has for you, Christian. And the truth of the matter is, there will be some reasons, probably in some individuals in this room tonight, why you won't be running the race. There will be some things that will come along this year. And by the way, tonight is not meant to be a hard message, but it may be, and I'm going to preach the truth in love, and I hope that you'll capture my heart this evening. I want more than anything for our church to be busy reaching the next generation, and we need the leadership of this church, and we need mamas and daddies, as I preached about last Sunday night, to go ahead and lead by example. And we need to be busy running the race. We need to be busy going about and enduring in the race that is set before us, as the Bible says. But unfortunately, in an imperfect world like we live in, not everybody under the sound of my voice will be here in a year from now. Not everybody may not even be here 3 months from now simply because they've picked up something that hindered their race. They picked up something that will affect their race. Some will drop out of the race that God has for them simply because some critic got a hold of them, or some tongue went ahead and lashed out and whatever, and you took it in and you absorbed it, and then you started getting critical and you're out of the race. There'll be some here tonight that you just get simply weary. You'll get tired, and that's typical. It can be tiring at times when you're running your race and so forth. When you actually see these runners on the track, you know what? They're not out there necessarily having a good time. Amen. I mean, they're doing it. They're doing it for a goal. They're doing it to reach a goal, if you will. But let me tell you something. They're huffing and they're puffing, and it took a lot of effort. It takes a lot of endurance to stay in that kind of race. And the spiritual race, same way. You know what? And you'll be weary. You will get tired. You'll get tired of maybe people lashing out. You get tired of just maybe getting up in the morning and going at it again and living the race and running the race that God has for you. It might be because you might have been mistreated. It might have been simply because of a whole host of different reasons why you may not run the race that God has for you. By the way, God has a race for you to run. And your race isn't going to be like this preacher, your preacher's race. And this, your preacher's race is not going to be like your race. But you know what? God expects us to run, and to run it well, and to finish. He expects us to finish. But you know what? You might pick up some weights, and maybe things that aren't necessarily all bad, but they've hindered your walk with God. You might have some weights on you tonight. Some things that's slowing you down, that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be. And they're not necessarily bad things. They're not necessarily things that are going to affect you as far as, they're not evil things as far as biblical standards, biblical principles is concerned. But you picked up some weights that's hindering your walk with God. Some things that's kind of a stumbling block, if you will, and they've got in the way of your walk with God. It might be some sort of sin. Some sin that the Holy Spirit maybe for some time has tried to go ahead and prune away from you and to cut it away from you, but you say, no, God, no, God, no, God. Truth of the matter, He wants all. But it might be some sin, some easily besetting sin that's getting you off course. Maybe you just don't want to run anymore. And unfortunately, when you fall or drop out of the race, it doesn't just affect you, man. It affects others that follow you. One of the things, and I've said it time and time again, I know, but one of the things that motivate me is the fact that I know that people are watching me. That's why I want to run. That's why I'm going to keep running. And let me just say this as I preface this message tonight. You know, I'm gonna remain committed the best that I can by the grace of God. I'm gonna remain committed to running this race that God has for me. You know what? I'll even go as far. I'll just set that reset button tonight, even though as far as I know I've been running. But I'm just going to reset the button because I'm going to remain committed to my family, because my family needs me to stay in the race. I'm going to go ahead and remain committed to this church and the church families, because I know most of you anyways, if not all, want me to stay in the race. I'm going to remain committed to the young people that are sitting in this auditorium tonight, the young people that ride them buses out there Sunday morning and shower that place downstairs. That room downstairs, I'm going to remain committed. I'm going to reset the button because I'm going to keep on running, because I want to be busy reaching the next generation. If we don't, we die. We're dead. You know, if we don't go ahead and revitalize and revive ourselves and stay in the race, you know what? We're dead spiritually. And I still happen to believe, have a hope for America tonight. I have a hope that we can just keep on, that God will go ahead and do some great things in America tonight. And I think the hope of saving this nation sitting in this room tonight. But moms and dads, pastor, deacons, lay workers, youth leaders, hey, we got a job to do. We must keep running our race. We must keep on keeping on. Yes, you may stumble, but don't just stay down. When the devil sees you down, he'll laugh at you. He'll try to keep you down. But don't just stay down. Get up. Get up this evening. I want, what do we need to do? The title of my message, What to Do in Staying in the Race. You know, I want us to be able to say at the end of our life, with the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So what do we need to do to stay in the race? Number one, consider them that have gone on before. Verse number one of our passage there. Wherefore, seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what encourages me? Those that fought the fight before me. I'm talking about Apostle Paul. I'm talking about his disciples. You know, if you go back to the Faith Hall of Fame there in the chapter just before, you know, you see Abel and you see all those great men and women of God. You know what? They ran the race before me. And did they run it perfectly? No. The mentors, if you will, and I'm going to walk around a little bit, Black Mike. The mentors, if you will, life. And I said this morning, I try to line myself up around good, godly Christian leaders because that motivates me. You know, and I tell you, my hero, Dr. Jack Hiles, boy, he motivated me. And was he perfect? No. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? I saw him run, and he says he'd never, and he'll tell you he didn't do it perfectly. But you know what? He mentored me, and he kept with it. I saw the battles that he fought. I saw him get knocked down several different times. But you know what? He got back up, and he finished his race well. The Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what? He ran his race well. All those in the Faith Hall of Fame, you know, they encourage me to say, you know what, if they can run despite who they are. And by the way, common, ordinary people, they weren't anybody, as I mentioned this morning, they weren't the movers and shakers of society, but God chose them to go ahead and do a special job, and God used them mightily, and they ran their race. They ran it well, not perfectly, but they finished the course. They finished the course. It encourages me to read about these great men and women of God in even Hebrews chapter 11 and all through the Bible. It encourages me that these people are a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us as we run the race that we have been given, and some things that they have done that gives me encouragement. Number one, they've run their race. They kept on running. They didn't do it perfectly, but they ran. They didn't quit until the race was finished. They endured unspeakable pain. Look at the men and women of God. I can't take all the time, but we know that faith chapter. You know the men and ladies that are there. Boy, you know, a lot of them went through some unspeakable pain and suffering, if you will, but they ran anyways. And now they're in the grandstands, if you will, of heaven. They're observing the race that we're running tonight, and they stand as an encouragement to me and a challenge to me. Sean, finish. Finish. You know, I've been knocked down a few different times, but bless God, I'm going to go ahead and get back up because I happen to know that I have not just people behind me that encourage me, but people that are watching me, the young people are watching me, my mama and my kids, I should say, my wife, you know, they're watching me. I need to go ahead and stay in the race for them, but I thank God for those who paid the price before. They encouraged me. They kept running. They kept on keeping on. They've run their race. They didn't quit when they could have. They have received their reward. And by the way, you will too. That's why you need to finish and finish strong. These people ran their race, and now tonight they're resting in the arms of Jesus Christ. They're resting in the arms of the Father, and they're in the Father's presence. They ran well. They received their reward. Let me tell you something. What encourages me is that one day, you know what, my life will be over. I hope I got 40, 50, if the Lord tarries, I hope I got a 40, 50, 60 more years in me. I'd be about 199 years old. Well, I don't know about that, but anyways, but I hope I can live a long life and keep on running the race, and I hope that through it all, I can go ahead and keep on stepping forward and keep on running, and you know what, and I will be knocked down, and bless God, you'll be knocked down, but the key is we got to get back up. Hey, you know what, a reward's coming. A reward is coming. Unfortunately, there's going to be some simply because they bowed out. Like I said a moment ago, there'll be some here tonight. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but something happened, and something's going to knock you out of play. I don't know what it is, but something's going to knock out of play. And the truth of the matter is, it'll be very hard to ever recover once you get knocked out of play. How often I've seen it happen. I've seen good Christian people say, well, you know what? I need to relieve myself of some of the church duties because of whatever the case may be, but I'm not going to go ahead and quit church. Truth of the matter is, it seems like once that happened, church was very minimal, if at all. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it time and time again. Let me just say this, Sunday school teacher, you just keep on running. Let me just say this, bus worker, you just keep on running.
Let me just say this, deacons, you just keep on running. Let me just say this, preacher, past weeks, you just keep on running. Let me just say this, mama, godly mama, nurturing and raising your children for the cause of Christ, you just keep on running. Hey, daddy, you're raising your kids and you're taking care of your family, you just keep on running. Hey there, nursery worker, you just keep on running. Hey, what I'm trying to say, we just need to keep running tonight. Hey, you know what? You'll receive your reward. You know what? It encourages me that those who ran the race before me, they've revealed that God is reliable. You know what? Paul got knocked down several times, but every time he got knocked down, of course, number one, he got back up, and every single time he proved that God is reliable. God is there to go ahead and help him every step of the way. You know, Moses, you know what? He got knocked down a few times, but the truth of the matter is, and I think of the Red Sea experience, one of the greatest parts of that journey, as far as I'm concerned, you know, being sandwiched between the enemy and the sea and so forth. What do we do? You know, and he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And you know what? That incident's right there. One of the biggest trials and one of the biggest burdens the children of Israel faced. The man of God got up and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you know what? You ain't seen nothing yet. And Moses got up by faith and proved that God is big enough to go ahead and handle the Red Sea. You know, listen to me. It proves, it reveals that God is reliable. Number two, this will be the long point here tonight. Consider those who've gone on before you. To run your race, consider those who've gone on before. Thank God for their testimony. No, they didn't run perfectly, but thank God they got back up and they kept on running and they kept on and they finished the course. And also, let those that follow you be an encouragement to you to keep running. Number two. Consider yourself. The Bible says, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside, now talking to us now, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, to run this race, you need to make proper preparations. You need to go ahead and remove some things in your life that'll slow you down and hinder you from being the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. Cody, come on out. Cody, wake up. Cody. I have a couch back there now. He was sleeping. Come on up here. Cody's going to represent the runner. He's going to represent that I'm fired, according to his shirt. Okay. I'm doing the preaching, okay? All right. But anyways, he's representing the runner. Cody, let's go ahead and look at this as a race, a track run right now, and he's been working out, right? He's been running your laps. What do they do? They're not going to tank up on Twinkies, and if they're going to go ahead and reach the goal and win the marathon, if you will, and win the race and so forth, they're not going to tank up on Twinkies. They're not going to go ahead and hit every ice cream store along the route from work to home. They're going to go ahead and they're going to work out. They're going to do everything they can to burn the calories. They want to take off any excess weight, if you will, so that they can go ahead and run the race. They're going to do everything they can to run the race. They're going to prepare themselves properly. They're going to put aside them things that will go ahead and harm them, that would go ahead and slow them down so they can win. Cody's not only going to represent a runner, actually in a sports event, but he's also going to represent tonight the spiritual runner. You know, this is, in a sense, this is the way that we should be. I mean, already toned up spiritually. Already spiritually. You know, all garbed up, ready to go, the whole armor of God and so forth, and he's ready to go ahead and run the race, and he keeps on running. He may get knocked down every so often in the race, but you know what? Bless God, he just keeps on getting back up. He just keeps on getting back up because, you know what, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the focal point, if you will. And he's going to say, you know what, there's a bigger cause than myself. There's something bigger than what I want. I may be knocked down, but bless God, devil, you ain't going to keep me down. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to keep on running the race. That's who he represents tonight. He's not going to get weighted down by the world. He's not going to go ahead and get tanked up with all the drugs of the world. He's not going to get all tanked up with the drugs and the drinking of the world. He's not going to go ahead and get all cigaretted up and so forth. And I know that's not a word, but he's not going to go ahead and do that because he wants to live clean and pure. He realized that his body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he belongs to God, and he doesn't want to defile himself. He's not going to get wrapped up in immorality. You know, he's going to carry this Bible here a little bit with you. He's going to keep the King James Bible in hand. He's going to make that an everyday part of his life because he doesn't want to stumble. He doesn't want to fall out of the race because he knows that there's some little bus kids that he influences every Sunday morning. And if he loses the race, if he gets out of the race, they may too. They may too. He knows where he's got to get his strength. He's got to go ahead and get on his knees every single day, and he's got to run that race, and he's got to absorb the things of God to run that race. He's got to go ahead and soak in the things of God. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of Christians tonight, your sponge is empty. You've not absorbed the things of God in a long time, and you've not walked with God in a long time, and because your sponge is empty, it's unusable, if you will. There's no water. There's nothing in it, if you will. You know what? Because of that, because you're not absorbing the preaching of the Word of God, you may sit here in church, well, when's this going to get over? But you're just looking to get out of here. You don't care about the preaching. The truth of the matter is, that is one reason why you'll be out of the race later on, because you've not walked with God in a long time. You may sit here, teenager, or whoever it may be, and you're just waiting, watching the clock go by. When's this going to go ahead? And then when's the preacher going to get done yelling and screaming and so forth? And the preacher gets up, pours his heart out, and maybe sometimes he's tough simply because he's preaching the truth and love to you. Why? Because he wants you to make it. He wants you to go ahead and finish the race and finish the course. And he wants you to go ahead and be a good example to those underneath you. But the truth of the matter is, you got no strength. You don't go ahead and absorb this book right here. You've got no strength. You don't go ahead and sit under the preaching of the Word of God. You've got no strength. And you got to go ahead and soak it in so you can keep running the race. Of course, you can be seated for a few minutes. Enjoy it for a while. Amen. Dan, come on out here. Be ready for this one, folks. Got to pull it. There you go. He's representing a runner too. Dan is representing maybe some of you that are here tonight. Truth of the matter is, if there was an actual race tonight outside in the parking lot and everything's there and the gun goes off, and you know, marathon tonight, he's not even ready. He is. He's worked out. He'd take hours a day to go ahead and train and work out for the race. He's not ready. He shows up to, Dan, what are you doing, man? You got boots? Normal people run with sneakers. You got ski pants? I know it's cold out, but normal people will run in shorts or sweatpants or whatever. You got a heavy jacket. What are you doing, man? You know, and he's not even ready. So in that actual marathon sports event, who's most likely going to win him from that standpoint? Now let's turn the coin over to spiritual for a minute. Listen now. Turn the spiritual over for a minute. Turn the coin over. Here's a guy that wants to live for God. Here's a guy that's literally fired up and wants to serve God. And yeah, he's heard the preaching. There'll be trials, but when the trials come, he's just going to get back up. He knows what he needs to do to go ahead and finish the course. When he gets in a rut in his life, he'll get in the Word of God, and he'll counsel with a man of God, and he'll do everything he can to go ahead and stay in that race. But here's a kid. God's called him to do some big things, but he's not even ready. Let me just start out with this, just for the sake of, I want to use this as part of the illustration. It might be, hold on, let me do this. I brought tape. Might be he's an unsaved man. Let me just talk about that for just a moment. And say, you know, means, of course, he doesn't know for sure if he was to die today, he'd go to heaven. Let me tell you something. That's the biggest weight you got tonight. Really. Sitting there not knowing, I don't know if I was to die today. If I took my last breath, am I going to go ahead and be with Jesus forever? And he promises in the Word of God, not a Baptist way, not this preacher's way, but he promises right there in the Word of God that you can have heaven in my Father's house of many mansions. If not, so I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. You know, he's got a place all ready for you. The truth of the matter is, we got to understand we're sinners. We got to understand that we're sinners and we're on our way to hell according to the Word of God. But Jesus, he paid the price, not this preacher, not a Baptist church, not a Pope, not a Presbyterian, not a rabbi, but Jesus, he paid the price. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it may be, you know, he's got so much other baggage, just kind of hang on to some of these. And you know what? He's got the wrong crowd hanging around him. He's got, some immorality hanging around around him simply because of this right here. He's also maybe got some smoking hanging around him. He doesn't understand that his body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. He's maybe got some drinking around his. All right, just fold it right over. That's all. Cover him up. He's got some drugs. Okay, keep on keeping on. He's got maybe some swearing and so forth. He's got all this baggage simply because of this right here. This right here. By the way, Jesus died for all sin. You don't have to bear that load of guilt tonight, my friend. You hear tonight, you play in church, and you're sitting in your pew. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You know, Jesus wants to save you, my friend. He wants you to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know it tonight, 1 John 5:13. You can know it. You can have a no-so Christianity and know that if something was to happen to you, God forbid, if something was to happen to you, think of the... I think I heard the total now is like 111,000 Haitians killed in last week's quake. Let me tell you something. They got up that morning, just it was another typical morning to them. They had no clue what was coming. And 111 souls went into eternity as a result of that quake. I hope many went to heaven because they had their faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, according to the scripture, if they didn't know Christ, then hell was their eternal destiny. That's what scripture teaches. Hey, my friend, you know, it might be that you're unsaved, but listen, and if you're unsaved tonight, boy, I plead with you, won't you come to know Jesus as Savior? You can't even begin to running this great race, by the way. It's a wonderful race until you get saved. But you know, it might be he's not even ready for this spiritual race. He may be a saved man, but he's backslidden. Maybe he never grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe he just never got discipled. Maybe he never was encouraged, if you will, to come back to church after he got saved. Maybe he did get saved, but he came to church and he was excited one time. He started growing. He did start doing some big things for God, and God was using him tremendously, but... list of them things I mentioned a while ago got in the way. You know, maybe the wrong crowd got in the way as it was there a while ago. Maybe some things got in the way that kept him from running the race. You know, he might have met a friend at work and that friend started telling him dirty jokes or whatever the case may be. Or maybe he met a friend at school and that so-called friend maybe was like a wolf in sheep's clothing at first and maybe kind of slithered up next to him like the old devil did through a serpent in the Garden of Eden and started saying, hey, I'm your buddy and so forth and so on. And they started telling dirty jokes. He started telling dirty jokes to Dan here. And by the way, I'm not using Dan to hurt him tonight. I talk to him. He's like one of my own. Okay, I just want to clear that up. You say, no. If I'm giving some of these poster things to Dan, it's not because he's doing it. He's just helping me out with an illustration. I just want you to know that. I love you, man. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. But some wrong crowd slithered up. Some wrong crowd started feeding him some rock music and so forth. Let me just tell you something, and some aren't going to like this, but it's out of hell. You know what? You just take the lyrics in and of itself. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How is it that we can have the mind of Christ when we're listening and pumping these lyrics from these rock groups into our head that's talking about filth and sex and drugs and rebellion? How can we live a godly Christian life that way? Tell me, just how? But the truth of the matter is, he got around the wrong crowd. He got around, maybe he started picking up some music that he ought not. He might have started picking up, some immorality. I know it's in there. Maybe some drugs along the way. You know, he's saved. He knows better. But he started getting a little bit distant. He started, he was excited at one time. He was serving in church, but he started getting a little distant. You know, I've worked with young people enough to know that I could tell, especially those that were once excited for God. I've been around them long enough to know that I can look at their eyes, I can look at their countenance and say, there's something up, man. You know what? Let me just say this, teenagers, some of your teenagers here tonight, you better be careful getting around the wrong crowd, because let me tell you something, you may think you got it hidden, but I can tell, you'll be surprised, some of the leaders in your life can tell you're messing up with some things, you're playing around with some things you ought not. Shows in your eyes, shows in your countenance. And there might be some that are wolves and sheep. Well, there might be some that can go ahead and hide it for a while, look spiritual. But you know what? Won't be long before you end up slipping up and you say something that's just out of character for you. Wow. And you know what? That's how your godly leaders can tell. That's why sometimes a preacher will call you in and say, hey, man, what's up? Hey, young lady, what's up? You know, there's something not right. Whether they go ahead and tell me or not, but you know, I'll call them in. If I know there's something, I can see it in their eyes, there's something not right, I'll call them in and say, what's going on, man? Nothing? Sure about that? But the truth of the matter is, you got to consider, you need to make some proper preparations. You know what? This spiritual race, as it is right now, who's going to go ahead and win? This guy over here? This guy? This guy's got a good chance. You know why? Got the Bible in his hand, sitting under the preaching 3 times a week. He's sitting under the preaching of youth group every Tuesday night, and he's soaking it all in. He's absorbing things like a sponge, and his sponge is usable. It's wet. You ever take a sponge and so forth? If it's dry, it's useless, really. But you go ahead and you get it in some soapy warm water, and you want to clean up something, that's when it'll go ahead and do the work. And he's soaking things in, he's usable, and he's soaking things in like a sponge simply because he wants to be used of God. You know what? And he can run this race, and he'll endure. He'll endure hardness as a good soldier, Paul tells a young Timothy. He'll keep on running. He'll keep on enduring simply because he's got Jesus as his focal point. You know what? He may go ahead and stumble and fall, but he's still looking up and saying, Jesus is there. Come on. Come ye after me. Come on. Come unto me. Come on. Keep on running, man. Come on. Keep on running. Get up. Get up. Get up. Keep on running. But this guy here, he's huffing and puffing spiritually. He's picked up maybe some weights. Set them down for a minute. Weights, as I mentioned a moment ago, aren't necessarily bad. But if you indulge in them too much and they hinder your walk with God, that's when they become bad. Amen. Don't misunderstand. I like fun things. I had a fun thing with my son. We went to a Celtics game. They lost. What else is new? I love sports. The truth of the matter is, if I let sports go ahead and dominate my walk with God, that's when it becomes bad. Is there anything wrong with sports? No. Anything wrong with watching the Celtics lose? No. Anything wrong with watching the Red Sox? No. But you know what? If it goes ahead and takes your church time, if it goes ahead and takes your walk with God time, that's when that becomes bad. It's a weight. Lay aside. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. I've been working out, amen, so this is nothing. But lay aside every weight. You know what? He's come unprepared, but you know what? He's picked up some weights. Not necessarily. Maybe it's a weight of sports. Maybe it's a weight of sports. Oh, there's a big game on Sunday night's Super Bowl. Dad, mom, or whoever whatever the case, age level may be. I think I got to stay home and watch Super Bowl. Super Bowl bad? No. But when we replace it with God's time, that's when it comes bad. It might be that he's picked up some other hobby. I don't know what it is. I'm not against hobbies either. Getting heavy yet? All right, you okay? Okay, sorry about that. I try not to pinch your fingers. But he picked up, it's a weight. Let me ask you a question. If he was to go ahead and run, is he going to be able to run effectively with these weights? No. You know, this guy over here, you know what? He may be tempted with some weights. He may be tempted with some certain things in his life. But you know what? He absorbs himself in the Word of God, and he gets himself into the preaching daily so that he knows, oh God, help me. He presents his body a living sacrifice daily at an altar somewhere. That's why he's able to run freely. That's why he's able to keep on going. He gets in the Word of God. He walks with God. Yeah, not to say he's not exempt from troubles. He's not exempt from picking up some of these weights. But when he realized, oh man, I should not have picked up that. Oh, and what's he do? He lays it out at the altar. God, here. Here, God. Might be that he's picked up some other things that keep him from being what God wants him to be. And some other things. And along the way, you know, the Bible says, you know, we got to consider ourselves here in this race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So, maybe because he's hanging around the wrong crowd, I've seen many young people do this. They pick up smoking. Start defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen this happen too. This tape's going to ruin my illustration. Hold on now. I'm going to get it. Maybe he's got a little bit of drink. And the Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever's deceived thereby is not wise. It'll go ahead, and the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I talked about that in great length last week, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? The Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. That means when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And just as a liquor controls how a man talks, just as liquor controls a man how a man walks and what he does and the things he says and so forth, you know, the Holy Spirit of God ought to be moving inside you, controlling how you talk, controlling how you walk, controlling where you go, controlling who you are. That's what it's all about, you know, being Spirit-filled. But you know, he's picked up maybe some drinking. But the weight. The sin that easily besets him. Maybe he's picked up, I thought there was an immorality one, but maybe, that's all right, I'll get to it. Maybe he picked up adultery. God hates that. He hates sin, period, but he hates that. You know, because of the sex sin, he destroyed a whole city, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their sexual promiscuity. Adultery. Started hanging around the wrong crowd. Maybe got to a certain age and the wrong crowd went ahead and started dragging him down into immorality. So, you know, he found himself a gal, if you will, started shacking up. Started doing things that he knows he ought not do. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. You know what? Sex is to be saved till marriage. Amen and amen. That's God's plan. God's plan is one man, one woman for life. Now, don't misunderstand me, and I know I'm under the sound of my voice this evening. There's some divorced people in here, and you know this preacher loves you. I'm not mad at you, but the truth of the matter is God's intent, according to Scripture, is one man, one woman for life. And he got shacking up with someone and maybe had some kids as a result and different things and so forth, illegitimate children and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, and they still stay shacking up, and their kids see that. I guess it's just the way it's supposed to be. Not according to the Word of God. And it becomes sin. He's already weighted down with some stuff. He's weighted down with rock music. He's weighted down. Of course, the wrong crowd maybe started all out. That's generally where it starts, especially in young people. A friend. Getting heavy? You okay? We're done this moment. See, Brittany made all these, so I got to put them up. Maybe he started taking the Lord's name in vain, cussing, swearing. Picking up some drugs. You know, the truth of the matter is, spiritually, he may have been saved. He may have gotten saved. Somewhere along the way, though, just something happened. started ditching church, started ditching the Word of God, whatever the case, and he started picking up things that ought not. Spiritually, as far as this man's spiritual race is concerned, he's a mess. And you know what? He may go ahead and say, I've got to keep on running. I'm going to keep running on. But the truth of the matter is, with all them weights and stuff like that, he's going to fall. And because of the junk that's built up in his life, the lack of the Holy Spirit working, flowing through his life freely, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, he's going to, when he falls, he'll get discouraged. I've seen this happen to many good people, by the way, even Christians. They say, you know what, there's no sense in me running. No sense. God can't use me. Look at all the mess that I got. Look at all the weights that I, look at all the mess. God can't use me. Let me tell you something. That's a lie too. And by the way, as a godly Christian individual, it's by the grace of God that you wouldn't be here. Amen. But by God's grace, and the truth of the matter is, as a child of God, when you see a Christian brother stumble, hey, restore such a one. Pick up that brother and say, hey, I'll help you through it. I'll be your friend. I'm not going to cast you out into outer darkness. That is so wrong. We should not be so judgmental that, you know, he can't be you. Oh, let's stay away. He can't be used. Why don't we be good, godly Christians? When he stumbles, let's pick him up and let's help him out. And let's get him back on the road of recovery spiritually. Aside all the weights. This guy's really a mess spiritually. But if this guy, can you go down there without tripping? If this guy would do what this guy's doing, if this guy would go ahead and do what this guy's doing, being tempted like he has been, but he's on fire. Reason why he's on fire for God, he's in the book. He's listening to the preaching. Comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, once and say, oh God, please fill me up. Please give me something. And he's at an altar somewhere at invitation time. He has his own altar in his bedroom perhaps somewhere. The reason why he's able to keep running the race and endure and get back up is because of that spiritual life. But what this guy needs to do, just come to the altar. Just bow your knees. God, here. Oh, I picked up some weights. Slowed me down, hindered me from God's work. God, I'm so sorry. And oftentimes when they're messed up like that, it's not just a little prayer time. He'll come running to the altar weeping. God, I'm so sorry. I know I'm a child of God. I remember when I got saved at camp or at youth conference or in my bedroom and my mom and daddy let, but God, I picked up some stuff, some junk. And I've not been committed to the race and I'm not stuck with it. I'm so sorry, God. God, forgive me for hanging around the wrong crowd. God, forgive me for the drinking and the drugs. God, I'm laying it all out on the altar. Forgive me for my immoral thoughts and my acts and my rock music and my adultery, God. Oh, God, please forgive me. I picked up cigarettes and different things, and I picked up swear. God, forgive me. Forgive me. And little by little, and not necessarily overnight, not necessarily, but he starts shedding these things off. God starts, not yet, God starts doing a work in his life. And you know what? And he gets up, he's lighter. He may not be as far ahead, so to speak, as that guy, but you know what? He's still running. He's still running. He got up, he did some business with God, and it might be some of us here tonight need to do some business with God. There's some things in your life that's hindering your walk. You're saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven. This is who I'm looking at tonight, a saved individual. But you've got some weights that are in your life tonight that's slowing you down. It might be a friend. It might be a critical tongue. Oh, that preacher, that church, that this, that whatever. It might be you getting tired. might be that you picked up some other things. You might have picked up some weights. You might be replacing God with sports or God with a hobby and different things. And again, I'm not against all that stuff. But when it replaces God, that's when it becomes trouble for your life. The truth of the matter is it might be some good Christian people here tonight before you fall out of the race. Before you become one of them folks, if you will, that I mentioned earlier, that may not be here a year from now simply because of something. Not running the race you ought to run simply because of. You fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit may be revealing it to you right now. It might be, you can get up a minute, Dan, why don't you come up here and sit down. Just leave that stuff there. Just sit down a minute. It might be that you're unsaved tonight. Boy, that's the biggest, as I mentioned earlier, that's the biggest weight you got. That's the biggest weight. Hold on, I want to watch. That's the biggest weight you have. I'm not going to get through all this, but that's okay. It's the biggest weight you have. I don't know. But you know what helps me to run my race? These young people. I happen to believe they want their preacher to keep running. I got to run for these guys, man. I got to run for your child. There are times, listen to me, there are times I don't always want to run. You don't either. But you know what? By the grace of God, you just get to your Bible and say, God, I need you today. God, you know, the money's a little low. I've not been feeling well, whatever the case may be. But God, I don't want to quit running because there's some others that need me to run. Maybe there's some of you here and you could need to recommit to that race. You need just be committed to it. Just reset that button. I said a moment, I reset it. I'm committed. What encourages me to keep going, of course, God, His Holy Spirit's inside me and moves me and shakes me. These young people around and the families that I get to be a part of, your family, I get to preach to you every single Sunday and Wednesday, and I don't take that lightly. I hope you understand that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, that motivates me. That encourages me. Them little children that's sitting right beside you, that encourage me to say, I'm going to keep on running. Little Abigail and a little Jordan and a little Kristen and a little Jessica, a little Sarah and a little, all the other children out there, Alex and others, they need their preacher to run. They need their mama and daddy to run. They need their Sunday school teacher to show up and be in their place. They need that bus worker to show up and be in their place. I know it's cold Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. I know the old bus sometimes barely cranks, but you just kick it a little bit and say, come on, come on, come on, we got a job to do, and you go anyways. I know sometimes your bones may ache and creak at 7 o'clock. I got to get to the church. I got to go to my bus route. I got to keep running today because somebody needs me. I got to stay in the race. I am encouraged by the Faith Hall of Fame, all the great men of God that we get to read about every day in our Word of God. They kept running. Encouraged by Brother Jack Hiles, my hero, Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Lee Robertson. Those three have passed off the scene in the last 10 years. Great men of God, just pastoring great works, and God used them in mighty ways, and the trials and struggles they went through. They kept on running, though. They kept on running. Hey, you know, consider those that have gone before. How are you going to go ahead and say, consider those that's gone on before you? Consider those who are watching you. And consider yourself, where will you be if you go ahead and go down the road you're on right now? Where are you going? There's some weights in your life. Weights, not necessarily bad. But Christian, before it takes you down, slows you down, and hinders you from being what God wants you to be, why don't you go ahead and say, God, you know what? I lay my weights out at the altar. I don't want anything to get in the way of my service for you and my love for you and my devotion. Maybe there's some besetting sins. Maybe as a result, as backing off from your Bible reading and prayer and church and different things, whatever the case may be, you've just picked up some other stuff, sins, and they're weighing you down. Why don't you go ahead and just tonight say, you know what? Clean slate. I'm recommitting to this race. And I'm going to keep on going. I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know Jesus as Savior. You're not even in this spiritual race because it starts at salvation. And because of being unsaved, you know what? You might have a lot of them other weights simply because you just don't know any better, perhaps. The Holy Spirit's not living in you to teach you and guide you. I plead with you this evening. Why don't you come to know Jesus as Savior? Make sure your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And know Jesus as Savior. He wants to save you, my friend. You know what? Come down to the altar at invitation time. Lay it on the altar and say, I need to be saved, preacher. Can you have someone show me from the Word of God how I can be saved? Cody, stand up a minute. Stand up a minute. I thank you for these guys, great guys. I want you to look at them a minute. Which runner are you? Which one? Over here? The King James Bible in your hand. Which runner are you? Or are you over here? Maybe you got some weights. Maybe you're not even prepared. You're a mess. Or you're heading down that way. Which one? Sit down again, guys. The song that we heard a while ago at Offering, it's kind of our theme song, if you will, during the year. You'll hear it several different times. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you a copy of that song written. Thank you, Brittany, for typing all the words out. I'm going to give it to you. Great words. Great words. Just a moment, we're going to hear that song again. Let's see. Chris, could you come forward a minute? Joel, could you come forward a minute? See to it that everybody in this room that wants one anyways, take these are yours, and pass them out to everyone. I have another bunch right over here for you. Let's keep a couple up here for these guys. That's yours. So you got two. You have two? Yep, I'll give one to Dan. They're yours, whatever you want to do with them. Make sure everybody gets one. You can follow along. I'm going to just ask you. I know it's a fast-paced song, but boy, it's really got a powerful message. And it's basically, it does convey what I'm trying to see God do in our church this week. Keep us running in the race. And I'm going to encourage you, if you want, you know, when you get to the chorus, you don't need to sing the whole song. I'm not going to ask you to necessarily, but if you want to sing just the chorus, and on the second page, it's a bridge. If you just follow along, you can go ahead and do that. But listen to the song either way. And I hope that you'll catch a message of it. Is it all passed out? You can just take them right back to the back when you're done. Brother Rick, could you go ahead and play that? I'm going to sit down a minute. And won't you go ahead and just listen to this song a minute again.
Down to the last minute, mercy. came to my rescue time after time. You told me you loved me, were counting my sins. In you I found courage to rise up again. I'm fully committed, I'm running the race, and I'm gonna finish. Yes, I'm running the race, down to the last minute. Mercy and grace are keeping me in, and there's a fire in my soul. I'm fully committed, I'm running the race, and I'm gonna finish. I'm running the race, and I'm gonna finish. I'm running the race.
Finish? Are you going to finish? You one of these kind of runners tonight? Well, you one of these two? There's one of two different kinds of people here tonight. You know, you're free tonight, so to speak. You're walking with God. You're praying. You're running your race. You're giving your race every single day. Yeah, you've gotten knocked down, but you always get back up. Are you this guy? Are you over here tonight? Tell you something. You're not going to be able to run the race, and you're not going to be able to finish the course that God has for you if you got a bunch of weights and junk. You got to go ahead and relieve that stuff. God wants to go ahead and relieve you of that burden tonight. I know in some ways this might have been a very harsh message, but you know what? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach this way, because I care so much about the families in this church and these young people, and I believe it's necessary to preach like this. I want you to finish, moms and dads, I want you to finish the race. Your children need you to. That Sunday school class needs you to, Sunday school. You just got to understand how important it is. I know there are times you don't feel like it. I know there are. I know there are times you don't feel like running the race, but I'm encouraging you tonight. Maybe it'd be good for all of us just reset the button and say, I'm going to keep running. I'm just going to keep running. But if you're dealing with some things in your life, you should just come down, just drop it off at the altar. Have a little time with Jesus and say, God, I'm so sorry. I've slowed down my race. I've had so much hindrance to my race because I don't want to slow down anymore. My family, my church, my spouse needs me. I got to keep running. Our Heavenly Father, God, the very best I knew how, I gave my heart to these dear people whom I love. God, our theme this year is so run that you may obtain. We've got to keep running. There's lost souls that are going to be won to Christ this year as a result of the ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We've got to keep running. There's some young people in our midst that need us to keep running. I pray, dear God, that we'll have a determination. We'll commit tonight and say, I'm going to finish. It's going to be by mercy and grace, but I'm going to go ahead and finish by the grace of God. I'm going to run my race until the day I die. I'm going to give God my best. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, whatever needs to be done tonight, that your will be done. Holy Spirit, you do the work. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here tonight you say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I won't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but God spoke to my heart. Would you please pray with me? That's it. Anybody? There you go. Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe put your hands down. Maybe here tonight, you'd be honest with me, and I wouldn't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. Say, Preacher, I don't even know for sure I'm saved. I can't even run this spiritual race. I don't even know if I'm saved.
As a result, I got all this other baggage. I want to run that kind of race. I want to finish. I want to do right, but I don't know for sure I'm saved. If you'd be honest with me, and I won't call you by name, I won't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, would you please pray with me about that matter of salvation? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Our Heavenly Father, you saw the hands, you know the hearts. And I pray, dear God, that you'd go ahead and you'd do a work in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Maybe you raised your hand a while ago. Maybe you didn't raise your hand a while ago. Maybe you need to step out. Maybe you need to be committed to finishing the race tonight. Maybe you just need to reset the button. Oh, you've been on fire. You've been moving. You've been doing what you're supposed to do. But maybe you just got to reset the button. They're already coming. That's all right. The music's not played there. That's okay. You know what? Why don't a little lower, but play that song again. We'll just play that song again, the race, and that's okay. But they're already coming. But if you need to go ahead and reset the button tonight for the cause of your family, for the cause of your children, the cause of your ministry, why don't you just go ahead and move? Why don't you go ahead and move? Anybody at all? The music's going to go ahead and play. Hey, be determined to finish tonight. Let's go ahead and run the race. Come on. Church, let's run the race. Go ahead. All right. Okay. Trying. It's supposed to be fun. We can laugh. We're in church. Amen. All right. I mean, yeah, I didn't even finish my message. Maybe I just need to pick up and just, anyways, that's all right. Amen. Amen. Got a busy year. Boy, just roll up your sleeves. Let's keep running. Let's keep running this year. Amen. Just keep on running. I mean, I'm excited. Got some things lined up. Gonna have a deaf revival again. Talked to Brother Shutt, emailed him, and gonna have many different things going on. And let's just keep on keeping on for Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's see. Who can I? Brother Robles, come on up here. Close in prayer. Could you? Amen.
I don't want to walk on the sins.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this message tonight, Lord. It's so important. Lord, to sometimes look back at our Christian life, Lord, and realize it. Lord, we need to push the reset button. And Lord, I like that. And Lord, how important it is that we look and run the race that is before us. Lord, having such a great cloud of witnesses, Father, let's do it for the sake of those that have gone before us, Lord, and Father, have certainly prepared the way for us. Help us to keep a focus on the prize. Help us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd run, Lord, inexhaustibly. Lord, in prayer life, in Bible reading, and Lord, in obedience to you in every area. That you be glorified in us. Thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, sir.